Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today. Your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, the Victory Monday edition. If you missed the breaking news at the top of the first hour, Raiders running back Josh Jacobs arrested on suspected DUI early this morning near Las Vegas McCarran International Airport. A one-car accident. He is okay. No one else was injured. You can find that story up on silverandblacktoday.com for some more details. You're back here, Scott Gulbranson, along with Q Myers. Also, tomorrow's show is jam-packed as well. You don't want to miss this week. The season might be over, but we're just getting started here on Raider Nation Radio. Tomorrow, Max Crosby, Raiders defensive end, will join us at 2:30. Max Crosby will be with us on Tuesday. Vic Tafer from The Athletic, we'll talk to him and get a little postseason reaction from him, as well as Marcus Johnson again from Tape Don't Lie. We're going to talk a little bit about the Raiders' offensive struggles towards the end of the season, and then, of course, Jesse Merrick, who joins us every Tuesday. So another just jam-packed show here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. All right, Q, you ready to turn the page and look towards next year, man?
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's 2021 already. It's the calendar 2021 year. Why don't we go ahead and turn our attention to, you know, what the Raiders could potentially be doing in the upcoming draft?
Yes, and we all know the defense is the priority. And so joining us now is a good friend, a former co-host here on Silver and Black Today, and our draft analyst at silverandblacktoday.com. That is one Mr. Kelly Kreiner. Kelly, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a little bit of time. I know a lot of folks ask about you. Glad to have you back.
Gentlemen, longtime listener, first time caller. I love it.
That's a new booty, man. You ain't no new booty.
New booty. That's right. All right, Kelly. Well, you know, for those of us who are looking towards the future for this Raiders team, Q's mentioned it just in the last few segments, even on this show and into last week, about this team on defense. There's so many needs. What they really need is they need some alpha dogs. Of course, they're going to try to get some of those in the free agent market. But when we focus on the draft with you today, I mean, in my view, there's really three key needs. That's at defensive tackle, that's at the edge, that pass rush continues to be one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. And then, of course, you also have need in offensive line. When you look at this draft, Kelly, out of those three positions, which has the most talent available coming up in this draft, and which has the least?
Offensive line, you've got a lot of good talent up there. You've got Sewell up top, who's, you know, he's the guy. Raiders are going to have no shot at getting him. But once you start getting into the, even like the fourth, fifth, sixth tackle, I mean, you've got some talent in there to where you're going to be able to make, maybe you don't have to go the first pick at 16 to get a tackle, you know, if that's what you're looking at, to where that second pick, you're going to be able to grab somebody. Because I think edge and, you know, outside linebacker, however you want to cut those, there's some talent there, but I don't see that depth like you see at other positions. So I think they need to attack that earlier than later.
I feel like looking at the draft and looking at this Raiders team in particular, Scott pointed out a lot of areas of need, but I also feel like sitting kind of there in the middle of the first round, the Raiders actually have a good opportunity to kind of just let that board fall and then just take the best player available, because – and literally best player available, not just at position of need, but literally the best player available, because I feel like anybody really right now is going to be an upgrade on the team.
I had that exact same conversation with somebody last night. I made that exact same comment. You're right. There's not like they're a one plug-and-play guy away from making this defense that much better. It is best player available, because you can take the best player at any position and basically start them on day one. So instead of trying to, you know, pigeonhole maybe your second or third best guy into a spot of need, just take the best person you can and then make it work from there.
Yeah, and of course, again, we're talking to Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst at silverandblacktoday.com. And Kelly, you look at that middle round, to Q's point, I mean, there's some, depending how things fall, there's everybody from, you know, Caleb Farley, a cornerback, although it looks like Arizona kind of is a guy that might need him and fall there. You have other wide receivers. You have, of course, defensive linemen you mentioned. You have linebackers, a guy that you and I both like, Jeremiah Cormois from Notre Dame. It looks like that Miami Miami could be in on there too. But with the Raiders falling around 17, and if it is the best player available, can you imagine what Raider Nation would do if the Raiders took an offensive player in the first round? Or do you think that there's not going to be enough of those impact kind of best player available on offense that John Gruden won't be tempted?
If Brown gets cut, which a lot of people think he's going to, you got a big hole at right tackle. I think if they went offensive line, I don't think the fans would be too torn up about that because they know how important this line is to this offense. But if they go in, you know, like if they went, like even if a guy like Kyle Pitts from Florida falls to you at 16, I mean, this guy's got a chance to be a star. The last thing the Raider fans want to see is another tight end on the field. So I think they're all going to be wanting to go defense. And I think like it'll be like Christmas Day if Quiddy Pay somehow falls to the Raiders. I think he's going to be the guy when it comes draft time every Raider fan's going to want. One guy, Rousseau out of Miami, you know, he decided to opt out for the year. Nobody's seen him for a year. He only has 1 year of production. I don't think it happens. But, I mean, there's a chance a guy like that, if he slips, if Joseph Asai, if Quiddy Pay, if these guys get bumped up in front of him because they actually played last year, he might be a guy that the Raiders could go after. Or even if he falls a little bit, make a move up a couple steps. Because I think this year, if you're wanting to trade up, you're going to be able to get a little more value. It's going to be a little cheaper to trade up than it has in the past because everybody's going to want to trade down because nobody's got any idea, you know, like the guys that set out. These guys haven't played as much. What's the combine going to look like? These guys have no idea. So with all that uncertainty, I think you're going to be able to move up a little cheaper than you could in the past.
Now, I like to watch Alabama football. Just a big fan of what they do. And obviously, it's almost like NFL light. You know, it's like watching the NFL minor league. And, you know, Dylan Moses is a guy who got banged up a year ago and then decided to return, which I was surprised. But where do you think a guy like Dylan Moses would slide in when he didn't really have the best season, but you still know he's a heck of a linebacker?
I've been singing his praises for 2 years. I had him in my first mock draft going to the Raiders. You know, last year I was surprised he went back to school, to be honest with you. But it's one of those things that I think the biggest problem, I mean, it's just the position in general, the Raiders have spent so much money on linebacker. Are you going to see him spend a high pick there again? You know, at least with Koromoa, he could be that big safety, small linebacker guy where you can kind of play him in two places. But with Dylan Moses, he's just that middle linebacker. That's all he's going to be able to do. So, right. Like, you draft, and you're going to have to, you know, draft him rather high. That first or second round pick is where he's going to go. It's like, are you admitting defeat on the Corey Littleton contract already? Are you pushing that to the side? It's going to be kind of, I think it's going to be kind of tough to get him in there without a whole bunch of more questions being answered or being asked.
Kelly, one other question on a linebacker. What about Joseph Asai? I know he's a guy from Texas, junior coming out early. He's a guy that I love watching play. Is he a guy, too, that if the Raiders – I mean, the Raiders, to me, they just have not selected linebackers near the top of the draft, but it is a need. Yes, they have other glaring needs, too, but is he a guy you'd consider at 17?
I think he's going to be that name next to Koromoa that you're going to see in almost all the mock drafts for the Raiders because it's – he's a linebacker, but he's that 3-4 edge. I think if you put a little bit of weight on him, you can move him down to the edge. He's got that tall, angular body with a big wingspan. And the guy's just – he's still learning how to play football. I know that scares a lot of people when you hear that, but, I mean, he – you know, he hasn't been playing his whole life like a bunch of these other guys that are out there. He's still learning the nuances of the game and just his size, speed, and athletic ability. You know, if you, like I said, if you put a few pounds on him and move him just to a defensive end, or if you do have him as that rush, as that outside linebacker, you know, he's going to offer you enough of both to where he can, you know, he's going to be somebody you can squeeze in a couple different places. So he's going to fill a lot of holes, but it's just the fact that there's, he, like I said, he's still learning. There's so much upside there. It's going to be exciting to see what he can do in the next couple of years, and that's going to kind of start pushing his draft stock up, in my opinion.
Kelly, let me ask you this question. What do the Raiders need to do, and who do they need to put along that defensive line that's going to help free up Max Crosby and put him in more favorable positions so he can eat more than he did in 2020? I mean, he had a sack in Week 10 and didn't have another one until Sunday. So, I mean, that was a big, long stretch, and it just looked like his matchups weren't favorable for himself.
That might be something that I would look at free agency on the defensive line. I'm not done looking at the defensive tackle class, but there's just nothing too exciting to me in this year's. Like, there's definitely no, like last year, I was a huge fan of Brown out of Auburn. There's no guy in that same class in this one. You know, a couple of years ago, I was hoping that Quinnen Williams would have fell to four. So they could add him. There's nobody in that same league in this class. You know, Marvin Wilson out of Florida State's a guy that, like, if you're looking in that second round to tackle that defensive line, he would have definitely been the first round pick, in my opinion. Had the leg injury, you know, missed the rest of the season, so everybody's kind of, you know, wait to see how he comes back in shape. But yeah, the defensive line class this year, there's quantity there. There's a lot of guys there, but there's nobody that you're just sitting there thinking, I have to have this guy on my defensive line. This guy's going to be a difference maker. So if they're looking for defensive line help, in my opinion, I'm looking at getting a veteran in there, making a trade, or trying to hit it up in free agency.
Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst, Silver and Black today, is our guest right now. And Kelly, with about a minute that we have left with you, talk about the challenges for this draft. I mean, you have a lot of these kids who either played a very shortened schedule or a schedule that didn't include a lot of the top line talent that they're used to playing, depending on which conference they're in. And so how hard is it going to be for the teams like the Raiders and their scouting staff to really select these guys? Some of these guys' tape is going to be a year old.
Yeah, you're going to find out who trusts their staffs this year. If you see a team trading up, you know right there that they trust their guys, because you're right. You've got limited tape on some of the guys. You've got no tape on some of them from this year, and a lot of the guys. And the biggest thing, they don't even know how they're doing the combine yet. They're not even sure how that's going to work. So basically, you've got all these guys kind of flying blind. So you're going to have to, you know, going to have to trust your people. You know, if there's somebody they're standing on the table for saying that we got to have this guy, you know, I think you go get him. You know, for the guys that took the year off, they better be in the best shape of their life when private workouts come around, or that's going to be a huge knock on them, because you had all this time to do nothing but prepare, and you obviously weren't doing that.
All right, Kelly Kreiner, our draft analyst. Kelly, thanks for joining us, man, and we'll get you back on in a couple weeks to kind of review some of the past draft classes, 2019-20, now that the season is wrapped up and we've seen 2 years of the 19 class and 1 year of the 2020 class. Kelly, thanks, man. I'll talk to you real soon.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks. Good to be back on.
All right, there you go. Kelly Kreiner, you can follow him on Twitter at Rating the Draft. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Q, we're going to catch up with Hunter Renfro, man.